Is there now momentum in favour of housing appeals in the Green Belt being allowed? A St Albans case study.
You're listening to the Planning, Environment and Property podcast, brought to you by the members of 39 Essex Chambers.
Hello, and welcome to this, the first episode in our podcast series, Hot Topics in Planning and Environmental Law. I'm your host, Tora Hutton. Our subject matter today is housing applications and appeals in the Green Belt. We'll be focusing on St Albans and asking the question as to whether there is now momentum in favour of them being allowed in circumstances where there is a pressing level of housing need. To discuss this topic, I have with me Paul Stinchcombe, King's Counsel, who's a friend and colleague in Chambers. Paul has a broad planning law practice with a particular specialism related to housing appeals. Most pertinently to this podcast episode, Paul has recently led a successful team effort in promoting an appeal by Headlands Way Limited at land north of Chiswell Green Lane in St Albans, in the Green Belt. That appeal decision, issued by the Secretary of State on the 22nd of March this year, granted permission for 330 discounted affordable homes for key workers in the Green Belt. The Secretary of State's decision also granted a conjoined appeal for 391 dwellings at land south of Chiswell Green Lane. Paul, thank you for joining us. Very many congratulations on the win. I think that makes you the perfect guest to have on this podcast to talk about housing appeals in the Green Belt, and particularly in St Albans. So welcome.
Thanks very much indeed. Great to be here.
Paul, you've been involved in a number of housing proposals in St Albans. Can you paint a picture for us of what the level of housing need is?
Yeah, I can, Tora. St Albans has been in a very long-standing planning and housing crisis. Those crises, they date back at least a decade to the first Tunstall case, the one which I did and which kicked off all the other cases about objectively assessed housing needs and the presumption in favour of sustainable development when the council doesn't have a five-year housing land supply so that its housing policies are out of date. So far as the St Albans planning crisis is concerned, and it's related to the housing crisis, the local plan in St Albans is most certainly out of date, and in more ways than one. It's one of the oldest, if not the oldest, local plans in the country. When local plans are meant to be reviewed every 5 years, it's not been reviewed for 30 years, since 1994. The Greenbelt boundaries haven't been revised or looked at since 1985, or formally looked at anyway. There's been reviews, but not in a plan-making sense. And there are no up-to-date housing targets or undeveloped allocations to meet housing needs. And the consequence of all of that, unsurprisingly, of the failure to adopt new housing allocations and targets, is nothing less than a complete housing crisis in St Albans. The council has been unable to demonstrate a five-year housing land supply for more than a decade. It can currently demonstrate just 1.7 years housing land supply. That's the worst housing land supply position in St Albans since the local plan was adopted. And of course, with housing shortfalls of that nature, the price to earnings affordability ratio has grown higher and higher also. It's currently standing at over 17, which means that median households, earning households, have to find 17 times their household income in order to buy. And worse still than that, with that undersupply of market housing comes a massive shortfall in affordable housing too, because the two are co-linked according to the St Albans model, whereby you only get affordable housing alongside market housing. The accumulative affordable housing shortfall in St Albans is over 5,000, 5,500 actually. To meet it in the next 5 years, as they're meant to do, they're therefore meant to deliver 1,100 affordable homes every year. They're currently projected to deliver 39 a year. That's how staggering the shortfall is.
Thanks, Paul. I mean, that all sounds pretty dire. So you've mentioned that we've got a significantly out-of-date local plan. Where's the planning process at now?
Well, they've made four attempts to replace their local plan and failed on each of them. They've started a fifth one. Let's hope this one works. The first draft was published on the 12th of July, 2023. They've had a Regulation 18 consultation that took place between July and September of last year. Adoption is planned for spring 2026, but let's hope, fingers crossed, that this one does work because the others haven't. But in any event, the consequences of that are simple. That until the spring of 2026, at the very earliest, when the next local plan might be adopted, St Albans can only meet the housing needs by building housing in the Greenbelt.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really striking and stark position. But it's no secret that the housing land supply position in St Albans has been dire for a number of years. Does that mean that these types of Greenbelt appeals have been consistently allowed over the past decade or so? Or is the example of your recent appeal win a more recent phenomenon?
It's a more recent phenomenon. I mentioned the Hunston case. That was, I think, 12 years ago. There, we took the matter to the court because we had been refused permission in the Greenbelt for housing when they were in a very similar position to that which they are in now. No up-to-date local plan targets and a housing shortfall against what were objectively assessed needs. But they resisted that then and successfully resisted it. We'll come on to what's happened about Hunston later, perhaps. But in 2012, you couldn't get planning permission for housing in the Greenbelt in St Albans. And indeed, there were ministerial statements saying that meeting conventional housing needs, where there was a shortfall, wouldn't ordinarily meet the test of very special circumstances required for permission to be granted for inappropriate housing development in the Greenbelt. That has changed recently. There was a slow move to it. In 2017, an inspector granted planning permission at Oaklands College for 350 dwellings. The council decided to grant a couple of permissions for smaller developments at Park Street and Beaumont School, 30 and 75 dwellings. But the real game changer in St Albans, and I would suggest elsewhere as well, happened with a decision in 2021 when an inspector called Christina Masters, very senior inspector, allowed 100 dwellings on Greenbelt land in St Albans, a Colney Heath site, stating that the housing position was bleak, attaching very substantial weight to the provision of both market and affordable housing, and saying that for various reasons, very little weight should be attached to those earlier ministerial statements saying that housing needs would not account for very special circumstances. In particular, she pointed out that those ministerial statements never found the way into the revised version or any version of the MPPF, and related policy advice in the PPG had been removed. So she said very little weight to be attached to them. And that meant that my clients and other people's clients all over the country, but certainly in St Albans, thought there was an argument that now could be had that meeting housing needs could amount to very special circumstances. And therefore, if there was an authority with very substantial housing needs, such as St Albans, that it was worthwhile having a go to see whether you could start to meet those needs.
Right. So that was 2021, where we had the Colney Heath decision, perhaps a bit of a game changer, certainly in relation to the written ministerial statements, or at least how inspectors were going to treat those. Following that decision, what's been the response of the local planning authority? Have they been granting permission on Greenbelt sites?
It's been a very mixed response. Immediately following that Colney Heath decision letter, the council did respond positively. I mentioned Hunston earlier. In, must have been 2011, 2012, the local authority went to the Court of Appeal to try and defend a refusal of planning permission for that Greenbelt site. A few years later, 2022, they granted planning permission themselves directly after the Colney Heath decision letter, and indeed quoting the Colney Heath decision letter, saying that there was no reason to apply different weights, attach different weights to the housing in the Hunston site than at Colney Heath. They then defended that decision, their reversal, their change of mind against the legal challenge. And I was alongside them when we resisted that challenge. So that's a paradigm example of what the sea change has been. Refused permission on one site 10 years ago, grant it and defend the grant of it 10 years later. But they haven't been following that through consistently at all, which is why we were at appeal in Chiswell Green for in total, I think it's 721 houses in the Greenbelt. The alternative site, the site that I was not promoting, but was promoted by Carla Holmes, that had been proposed in one of the draft local plans that got thrown out for lack of cooperation for housing. And yet still the council refused it, even though it was one that they had earlier proposed to come out of the Greenbelt to meet their housing needs. And they also refused our proposal for 330 homes, where there was no highway subjection, where it wasn't a valued landscape, and where we were proposing 100% affordable homes or for key workers. So you'd have thought that they might have wanted to bite your hand off, or both our hands off, in those circumstances, given that they had such an appalling housing land supply and affordable housing land supply position.
I mean, it's such a brilliant appeal decision for a number of reasons, and you've kindly agreed to come and do another episode on particularly the affordable housing for key workers that you promoted as part of that scheme. But coming back really to housing development in the Greenbelt generally, we've seen that there's been a mixed response by the council. How about inspectors? Now that we've got this dire housing need, which has clearly been relied upon as part of a very special circumstances case by, well, in your decision, the Secretary of State, does that mean that this is a sort of free-for-all in the Greenbelt, or is that going too far?
That is going too far, and it should be going too far, because each site should be considered on its own merits. But just by way of example of how varied the picture is, whilst Inspector Masters allowed an appeal on one site in Colney Heath in 2021, earlier this year, another inspector dismissed an appeal for housing on another site in Colney Heath. And just days before the Chiswell Green decisions, the Secretary of State, who granted permission in Chiswell Green, disagreed with an inspector's recommendation to grant permission in the neighbouring authority of Decorum in Tring for 1,400 houses, where the housing land supply position was not terribly different from St Albans. In Decorum, the housing land supply is just 2.06 years. So obviously different decisions are being reached on different cases with different proposals and on different sites.
And I mean, the reality is, isn't it, that that's not terribly surprising, because as ever, we've got a planning balance to be struck. When you've got the green belt, you need to show, well, one, you need to assess the level of harm, so harm by reason of inappropriateness and any other harm, and then assess that against the material considerations in favour and reach a view as to whether those amount to very special circumstances. So you have variables such as, I mean, landscape and visual impact would be one obvious variable which may come into play. But then, of course, you've got the human variable, haven't you? Different inspectors will see things differently. And the reality is, as we know all too well in our job, you'll have sites where permission would be granted by one inspector and possibly but refused by another. So presumably those same variables are at play here.
Of course, that's absolutely right. I mean, and different proposals in scale, of course, have different impacts. I mean, the Tring proposal was twice as large as the Chiswell Green proposals put together, 14 houses against 700 odd. And unlike the Chiswell Green sites, was in the setting of an AOMB. So that will have made a difference. The second Colney Heath proposal that I was talking about, that was found by the inspector to cause significant harm to the landscape and appearance of the wider surrounding area. Whereas Inspector Masters found the first proposed in Colney Heath to have localised impacts only. And those subjective judgments are ones that different inspectors can definitely reach on different proposals in any event. Every advocate in planning inquiries knows that very clearly.
One of the variables, of course, we haven't touched on, but again, is a reality, is that once your decision is called in or recovered by a Secretary of State, then who knows, maybe politics might have something to do with the decision.
Politics will undoubtedly have something to do with the decision. This is a highly political area in the run-up to the next election, because the leading parties are saying very different things about how to deliver the housing that this country requires and how to protect the Greenbelt. And the Labour Party has suggested that it may be more sustainable to deliver the housing on certain parts of the Greenbelt, which are despoiled on the urban fringe, close to facilities, and more sustainable to do that, and therefore to change the Greenbelt policy, than to direct the housing into more remote parts of the countryside, out of the Greenbelt, where they'd be more car dependent. And the Prime Minister has said something really rather different and made it into a political issue. Interestingly, the two Chiswell Green decisions were recovered by Michael Gove, the Secretary of State, on the day, or in the week at least, that we were expecting the decision letter from the inspector. And so it becomes such a hot political potato that whether they'd seen a recommendation to grant or not beforehand, it was quite clearly thought that decision could not be made by a senior inspector, but had to be made at government level. And that would be the same for the Tring decisions as well, I suspect.
I mean, it's a really interesting point you make about our expected next government, which is no secret, but all the polls, indeed, very recently, polls are showing an absolute landslide for Labour. Presumably, that will be something in the minds of those promoting Greenbelt sites, with a potential future government that has been very careful to say that it is pro-housing and has also made comments about the Greenbelt, or indeed Grey Belt, as Keir Starmer has termed it.
Absolutely. That's quite right. There has been a change, as we've just outlined, from certainly 2021 onwards. If the next Labour government introduces the policy changes suggesting, that change will be sped up, accelerated. I mean, it brings me back a little bit to a case that I did, must be 7 or 8 years ago, again in the Greenbelt. I think it was in the constituency of the then housing minister. They had about a 2-year housing land supply as well. We found a site that was a former waste dump that was within walking distance of the railway station that we offered to build 1,000 houses there to help meet their housing needs, make half of them affordable, put in a parkland and put in a great big water feature as well. And they chose to preserve it in the Greenbelt as a derelict dump, inaccessible to people. And one wonders now whether people who had an interest in that kind of land 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago will be coming back post the election and saying, well, actually, can we start meeting the housing needs in a sustainable way, please? Because keeping this in the Greenbelt and preserving it as inaccessible land that is not valued countryside isn't as useful as turning it into houses that the people need.
Yeah, absolutely. And Paul, you and I have discussed a similar site I'm involved with at the moment. So I think that's probably a fitting note to wrap up. I think the summary of our discussion here is probably that, yes, there is momentum behind housing being allowed in the Greenbelt. St Albans is a case in point. It doesn't mean that all appeals or applications will be allowed. But looking forward, we can expect the momentum that has been gathering since 2021 to, as you say, Paul, accelerate. Is that a fair summary?
That's where I see it, certainly, Tora.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Paul, for joining us. And thank you for listening to us. Our next episode is going to continue this discussion in relation to the Chiswell Green decision that Paul was involved in. And we're going to look particularly at the proposal for affordable housing for key workers. And we'll be joined by Ian Parker of McPartland Planning. So I do hope that you can join us for that episode as well.
Thanks for listening. At 39 Essex Chambers, we cover a vast array of practice areas and sectors. You can find out more about our expertise and our barristers at 39essex.com, where you can also see our extensive catalogue of articles, podcasts, and webinars.